If you have a copy of God's Word with you, please turn with me to the book of Revelation. And we're turning to Revelation chapter 20 for our first scripture reading this evening. And while you're finding the place, I'd like to thank our minister, the Reverend McKee, for the opportunity to be along tonight. I wasn't expecting to be here, but such is the ways of the Lord. His ways are not our ways and his thoughts are not our thoughts, but I'm very glad to be here. And thank our brother for the opportunity tonight. Now, he hasn't a watch here, so I don't know if that's a sign or not, but don't worry, I have come prepared with my own watch, so we'll watch the time tonight as well. Revelation chapter 20, please, and we're going to read from verse 11 down to verse 15, and then we'll turn to Psalm 55. But first of all, Revelation chapter 20, commencing to read at verse number 11. This is the word of God. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Please put a marker there and turn back with me to the Old Testament, to Psalm chapter 55, please. Psalm 55. And I want to read from verse number 16 down to verse number 23. Psalm 55, it is a psalm of David. And he says in verse number 16, "As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old, Selah. Because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. He hath put forth his hands against such as be at peace with him. He hath broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. But thou, O God, shall bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee." Amen. And we know the Lord will bless this public reading of his word to each and every one of our hearts, for his name's sake and his glory and honour alone. Amen. Let us bow in prayer and ask for the Lord's help upon the preaching of his word this evening. Our loving Father and eternal God, we bless thee and we thank thee for the privilege we have again to draw nigh into thy courts above through the merits of our Saviour and Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee, Lord, for what has taken place in this service already. We thank thee, Lord, for Anna's ministry and song. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst bless her in the days to come. We thank thee for our minister, and we do pray that thou wouldst bless him and his dear wife. And Lord, remember the oversight of this congregation. Lord, bless them and lead them and guide them, I pray, in future days. We thank thee, Lord, for the singing of these hymns as well. Lord, hymns whereby we can rejoice in the God of our salvation. And Lord, we thank thee for the precious word of God. Lord, that word which is sharper than any two-edged sword. Lord, that which is that lamp unto your feet and a light to your path. And we pray and ask now, Lord, that thou wouldst come and presence thyself with us especially now. And this is the most important aspect of our service of worship tonight. Oh Lord, we need thy help. And Lord, I pray that thou wouldst take away every distracting thought from our minds and from our hearts. And Lord, give us that attention and that focus which we need to hear thy word and to be doers of thy word. Speak to all of our hearts, I pray tonight, especially, Lord, those who know thee not as Lord and Saviour. Lord, we thank thee for those who are in the meeting tonight and those who watch online, and we pray that thy word will be a blessing to every heart. Lord, restore those who are backslidden, Lord. Lord, restore unto them the joy of thy salvation, I pray. O Lord, I acknowledge afresh my unworthiness and my inability tonight, and I pray thee that my sufficiency, it is not of myself, but Lord, it is of God. And I pray that, Lord, thou wast empty me of self and of sin, and fill me with the blessed Holy Spirit. Hide me far behind the cross tonight. Help me to bring thy word this evening. And I pray that everything would redound to the Saviour's glory and his honour alone. For it's in his precious name I pray, and I ask these things. Amen. Amen. This evening, brethren and sisters and friends gathered tonight, I want to simply look at these two portions of Scripture with you, and there is one particular word which appears in both these portions which we have read tonight. Now, it's an English word, and it appears over 474 times in the Authorized Version of the Scriptures. And I just want for a few moments to consider with you this little word, cast. Because we have read it in Revelation chapter 20, verse 15, and Psalm 55, verse number 22. And simply for a few moments this evening, I want to consider with you two important casts to note. Two important casts to note. And the first cast I want to consider with you is this. It is the solemn cast. The solemn cast. Look with me again to Revelation 20 and the verse number 15. Now John the Apostle there writes, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Now in this chapter of God's word, John the Apostle speaks of many things. We didn't take time to read the entire chapter tonight, but you can do that for yourself when you go home. And notice that in this chapter, he deals with a number of issues. He deals with, first of all, the binding of the devil. Then he speaks of the exaltation of the saints of God. He goes on to speak about the first resurrection, and then the devil's final overthrow. And then he comes at the close of this chapter to speak of the last judgment of those who are against the Lord Jesus Christ. Something which is very solemn tonight. And in verse 15 here, we see what he speaks about this last judgment, saying that whosoever, and that you know very well that the word whosoever means anybody, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I want you to notice with me the reason for this cast. Now, what is the reason for this cast here in verse number 15? Well, John is writing here of that great and terrible day when the judgment of our holy and righteous and just God will be carried out upon those who have rejected God's offer of mercy and salvation. Those who have rejected the Saviour and his finished work. Those who have scorned his atoning sacrifice at the cross. Those who think nothing of his precious blood that he shed for their soul's salvation. He speaks here as well, not only of judgment, but in the previous verses he speaks about the Lamb's Book of Life. That great book which contains all the names of every sinner saved by grace. Those who have been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. Those who have came as a sinner and believed on Christ and have been saved. And praise God, their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that's why their name's there. It is because of the Lamb. It is because of Christ, the blood of the Lamb that was without blemish and without spot. So there's not only the reason for this cast, but there is also the result of this cast. John says there, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." So if your name, my friend, tonight is not in the Lamb's Book of Life, you're lost. You're not born again. You're not saved. And this is your prospect. If you die in your sin and go out into eternity as a lost, Christ-rejecting sinner, into the lake of fire. For them, for you, if you're not saved tonight, that will be your awful prospect. What's known as the second death, as he says there in verse 14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. And this is the second death. That is where every Christ-rejecting soul will go at this scene of time. So many think that after this life that they will cease to exist, that there's something that's called annihilation. Well, friend, the Bible speaks of no such thing. Oh, yes, there may be cults and false religions out there that teach, well, after you die, that's it. You cease to exist. There's nothing after this life. My friend, the Bible tells us different. You know that the Bible tells us in the book of Genesis how that the Lord formed a man out of the dust of the ground. And what did the Lord do? The Lord breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And since we are living souls, we will never cease to exist. And that's why our soul needs to be saved, because our soul will either go to be in heaven with Christ or in hell without him. Friend, you've had a beginning, but you're not going to have an ending. Oh yes, there will be a time when you will have to leave earth and your loved ones and your possessions behind, but your soul will go out into eternity. And if your name's not in the Lamb's Book of Life, if Christ is not your Lord and Savior, if you're not depending upon the finished work of Christ for your soul's salvation, you're lost. And your soul will be in hell. Now this word cast here in verse number 15, it signifies to throw or to let go of a thing without caring where it falls. You think about that for a second. You think about a soul of an individual. Or even think about yourself, my friend, if you're not saved. Or Christian, you think about a loved one who's not saved. And they are taken and they are cast into the lake of fire as if they're not cared about. That's a very solemn thought, is it not? You know, the first time this word appears in our Bible is in Matthew's Gospel. If you want to turn with me, please, to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3. And in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3, and the verse number 10. And it says in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 10, and now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. You see, good works is not a means of salvation, but good works fruit is evidence of salvation. But if you have not those fruits which come from being saved, you will end up, as it says here, into fire. And that's what hell is. It is a lake of fire. It is a place of torments. It's not a place that anybody in their right mind would want to go. It's not a place where you'll party all day and all night. It's not a place where you'll have a good time. Hell is a place of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. That's why we're here tonight. We're here to warn you. Yes, I know it's not a palatable message. It's not a message which society wants today, but it's a message which society needs to hear and needs to heed, because this is reality for every soul who knows not Jesus Christ as their own and their personal Savior. Let me read to you the words of Genesis 37:24. And it says there, and they took him and cast him into a pit. Now that speaks of Joseph's brothers and how they hated him. And we know that Joseph was a wonderful picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, his brothers were jealous of him. They hated him. And what did they do? They grabbed him and they threw him into the pit because they didn't care. They hated him. And yet, my friend, that's what will happen to you If you reject Christ and you go into eternity as a sinner still in your sin. You see, many today deny the very reality of this place called hell. But the Bible is clear that there is a place called hell. The Lord Jesus Christ himself spoke about hell. But yet the Christ of which many so-called preachers preach today is one who will let anybody into heaven. One who will save anybody, or who will pardon any sin and let sinners into heaven. Well, friend, the Bible says that none not defileth shall enter in. And we must have our sins cleansed by the blood of Christ if we ever hope to be in heaven. You see, if you're going to deny the reality of hell, then you'll have to deny the reality of heaven. But yet so many today, they love to believe in a place called heaven. But yet, on the other hand, they will deny the place called hell. But yet, the Bible tells us that there's only two places where our soul will spend eternity. The Bible doesn't speak of purgatory, but it speaks of heaven and it speaks of hell. It says in Matthew's Gospel 25, verse 41, "Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." And then in verse 46 of Matthew 25, it says, "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." And this is what we want to bring to you in the message tonight. That while you must heed the warning that there is a place called hell for the lost and the Christ rejected, but praise God, there is the place called heaven. There is the place of life eternal. There is a place of endless joy, and a place where there's no more sorrow, no more suffering, no more sadness, and praise God, no more sin. And that is God's heaven. But in this solemn cast this evening, in Revelation 20, verse 15, it speaks very clearly of the end of the ungodly, those who reject Jesus Christ in this life. And I wonder, as I look out onto this great congregation, and even onto those I cannot see behind the camera, on the internet, I wonder, what have you done with Jesus Christ? I wonder, is he your Lord and Saviour? Have you come as a sinner and trusted in him? Or are you still rejecting him? It says in Mark chapter 9, verse 43, "And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched." And then in verse 43 of Mark 9 it says, "Where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched." Friend, this is a very solemn matter to consider tonight. And we're not here to be morbid, and we're not here to go out of our way to offend anyone here. But we want to be faithful to God and to his word and to your soul. This is a very solemn cast to consider. That whoever you are, no matter whether you have a great standing in society or not, no matter what your intellect may be, no matter what religious background you may be, that word whosoever includes anybody and everybody. And it says, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." But we could also read that verse this way: "And whosoever was found written in the book of life was not cast into the lake of fire." That's the truth of God's word tonight. And I thank God for that great truth. And my duty here tonight is to be faithful to God and to his word and to your soul. There is such a place called hell. And praise God, there is such a place called heaven. And there is a way for you as a sinner to be saved. And that is by trusting in Christ and in Christ alone. Peter says in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, "Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved." I wonder, are you saved tonight? That's a word that many don't like today, but it's a word I love to hear. To be saved for time and for eternity. To be safe and secure in Christ. The Lord Jesus says, I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. And that word perish there has the thought of being lost in hell for all eternity. But praise God, if you're a believer, if you're saved by God's grace tonight, you'll never end up in that place called hell. And while I'm speaking in the gospel tonight, I don't want the believer to go away without having a word to them as well. And while we have considered, first of all, a solemn cast tonight, I want us to turn to the book of Psalms. And let us turn to Psalm 55 for this second cast. And in Psalm 55 tonight, and the verse 22, we have what I believe is the steadfast cast. The steadfast cast. Now read verse 22 with me, and it says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Now in this psalm, the psalmist David is complaining about the trouble that he faces. Now you and I as believers know tonight that none of us are immune from troubles. And the psalmist David was no different. None of us are immune from trials and tribulations in this life. But what he seeks to do in this psalm, he seeks to encourage himself. We know that it's written about David that he encouraged himself in the Lord. And at times, brethren and sisters, that's what we have to do. And he encourages himself here with the fact that God will preserve him. That's one of the great doctrines of grace. It is the perseverance of the saints. And praise God, we believe that because the Bible teaches it. And there is much here in this psalm to strengthen every one of us as believers and to encourage us. But it is in the verse number 22 I want us to think about. And as we're considering the gospel and the sinner's need to come to Christ, I want you to think about this with me. That again, this word cast here, it has the thought of throwing or hurling or flinging away. And what does David have here? He has a burden. And what does he say to himself? Cast thy burden upon the Lord. Now, why does he say that? Because he says, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Why was he telling himself to cast his burden upon the Lord? Because the Lord is the only one who is able to sustain him. And even believer tonight, whatever your burden is, we all have burdens. And even this is a word to my own heart. Whatever our burden is, let us cast it. Let us fling it away to the feet of the Saviour. Why? Because he shall sustain thee. He shall sustain thee, no matter how deep or dark the trial may be. How often we've been there, we wondered, what are we going to do? What direction are we going to turn? But praise God, dear believer, we have the Lord. And you know, sinner, tonight, this is what I want you to take away from this verse. Because the burden that you have is the burden of your sin. Now you may have physical ailments tonight. You may have perhaps other issues in your life which need addressed. But your most important need tonight is that the burden of your sin will be dealt with. And praise God, I present to you the Lord Jesus Christ, who is able and who is willing to take that burden and to sustain you. In other words, he is willing to take away that debt of your sin and to give you that joy of God's salvation, to give you that peace of God which passeth all understanding. Remember how it says in Isaiah 9 and the verse 6 that he is the Prince of Peace. And he will give unto you a peace that this world could never give. And that peace comes from knowing Jesus Christ. That peace comes from having your sins forgiven, knowing that it is well with your soul, that whenever you go home tonight by the grace of God and you put your head in the pillow, you can say, ah, it's well with my soul. That burden of my sin has been dealt with. And praise God, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the great burden bearer. He is the one that we can cast the burden of our sin, believer as well. If there's some besetting sin in our lives, let us come afresh and cast it upon the Lord. Why? He shall sustain us. And he goes on there in that verse to say, he shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Now, what's interesting about this word burden in this verse is that in the original, it signifies a gift. You think about that for a second. Cast thy gift upon the Lord. We could read it that way. But our English translation says, cast thy burden. And you know, at times we fail to realize that the burdens, the trials and the tribulations which we have are a gift from the Lord. And what was David to do here? He was to give it back to the Lord because he knew that the Lord would sustain him. Whatever trial you're going through, dear believer, have you ever thought about it this way, that it may be a gift from God to draw you closer onto him, to wean you off self-reliance and to cause you to be fully reliant upon the Lord? You see, it's only when we have these trials and tribulations, when we see our total dependency and our total helplessness. If you're ever out with the open air brethren, you'll often hear them say that we're nothing but old beggars. We're nothing but sinners saved by grace. We cannot do anything without the Lord, and that's true. But praise God, these burdens can be left at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the great burden bearer because he cares for every one of us. The hymn writer says, no one ever cared for me like Jesus. No one else could take my place. And it goes on there to say, oh, how he cares for me. And oh, he does care. He's a great burden bearer. No sinner tonight, take that burden of your sin and cast it upon the Lord, for he shall sustain you. He shall save your soul, and he will cleanse away your sin, and he will deal with the guilt of your sin, save your soul, and give you that hope and that joy and peace which only he can give. Remember what the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew 11:28. He says, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's what he offers to you tonight. But will you come? Will you accept him? Will you look to him tonight for that peace and satisfaction and that fulfillment and that assurance of his salvation, which only he is able to give you? You know, the hymn writer Charles Tinley wrote these words. He says, take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. He didn't say, take your burden to the Lord and take it away with you. He didn't say, take your burden to the Lord and continue to carry it. No, he says, take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. I know at times that's easier said than done. But let us, by the grace of God, do that tonight. And sinner, knowing that whenever you come to Christ and ask him to forgive you and to save you, he will. And he will save you, not just for time, but you'll be saved for all eternity. You know, our minister read a few moments ago from 1 Corinthians 11 about the Apostle Paul. And I just noted there some of the words that he described and what he faced as a Christian. He spoke of perils. He spoke of weariness. And he spoke of painfulness. And I know as I look out onto this congregation tonight, there are those of you who are dealing with perils. There are those of you who are dealing with weariness. There are those of you who are dealing with painfulness as well. But praise God. What did the word of the Lord say to Paul? My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And praise God, dear Christian and dear sinner tonight, we have a Lord in heaven who is able and is willing to be the burden bearer of our burdens. And most importantly of all, he is the one who is able to take away that guilt and that burden of our sin and to sustain us, knowing that it's well with our souls. Oh yes, we still sin against the Lord every day in thought, word, and deed. But praise God, we have an advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous. Praise God, the precious blood of Christ, it keeps on cleansing If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, David says here in this psalm that the Lord, he will never suffer the righteous to be moved. And that that means there that he will not allow those who are justified or those who are righteous in his sight to be lost or to fall, because he will sustain them and he will uphold them by the right hand of his righteousness and by the word of his grace and power. And that's why I believe tonight it's a steadfast cast. We're nearly finished. And as we come to close our message tonight, thinking about these two important casts, the solemn cast, that whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. O sinner, heed the warning from God's word tonight. That will be your fate and your destiny if you die as a Christ rejecter. But O come to the one who is the burden bearer tonight. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. But let me close with this verse, sinner friend, verse 23 of Psalm 55. But thou, O God, shall bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days. Oh, if you reject Christ, you'll be brought down to that pit of destruction. Oh, dear Christian, tonight, look at those last words. He says, but I will trust in thee. Are you trusting? Are you resting upon Christ tonight? We're not asking you to rest upon a church denomination or upon a preacher, but rest upon Jesus Christ, the one who is able and willing to save you and to sustain you. Will you do that tonight if you haven't already? Oh, Christian, afresh, come. Come to our wonderful Saviour and cast your burden, whatever it may be, upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee.